Hello, welcome to another episode of The High Ground, powered by Premier Companies. Jeff, how are you doing today?
I'm doing wonderful, Sal. Thank you.
We're going to be on our best behavior.
Yes.
Because we have our HR director in the office today, Brian Scheid, returning guest. He was on one of the earlier podcasts we had.
I think this is the third one.
The third one. That's
it's,
right.
It's been a while since I've been on one, but I think this is number three.
Well, you know the routine. We got to start you off with the question of the day. So, Brian, what is the question of the day today is, what's your favorite, which breed of dog do you like the most and why, and which one do you like the least?
Well, I'll start out with that I'm not a dog person.
You're not a dog person.
But kind of the second part of the story is why. So I'll say my favorite breed of dog, I did have Siberian Huskies, had two of them, just loved them.
Kind of like long hair, right?
Yeah, long hair, they're an outside dog, but beautiful dogs. Love the snow, of course, because that's what they're bred for. But unfortunately,
nothing says snow like Southern Indiana.
Yeah, but yeah, more like sleet and ice.
So no, they didn't have a lot of fun, but they do like cold. So those were my favorite. Unfortunately, didn't have them very long.
Because there's no snow.
Well, that's part of it, probably. Chasing, and one of them got hit by a school bus.
Oh, great. An old Yeller story.
Yep. And then the other one poisoned.
Oh my gosh.
So ate a bird or something that got into rat poison, and that dog bled out. So,
oh man, well, that just lowered the fun level of the podcast.
Yeah, we went from high ground to low ground. Low ground.
So, I should have quantified.
So Next, in line.
Let's bring it back around.
That's okay. Well, sort of. So, my wife and I at the time got two Shetland sheepdogs, little Shelties.
Ah.
So, smaller dogs. They're ankle nippers. They're cute little dogs, but at that time, we just finished remodeling the inside of the old house that's on our farm. And those dogs literally destroyed everything inside the house.
Oh, no.
From the furniture to the baseboards.
Chewed up everything.
Yeah. So
so you're not a dog guy.
I'm not a dog person. Those dogs made it for quite a while, and that's the last dogs I've ever been around and owned. So
wow. You said no more. There must have been a lot of property damage with those two little dogs.
It was. We tried everything, the sprays, of course we couldn't keep them in pens. You know, she wasn't having any of that. We couldn't pin them up or anything at night when. So we had to let him run, but
yeah, they make kennels. So, you can put
in true HR form. He fired him.
He yep. fired him. Big layoff. Change of status.
Yep.
Well, Jeff, what do you got for favorite and least favorite?
You know, my favorite is a new favorite. I grew up with Australian Shepherds all my life, and my new favorite is
cattle dogs.
Yeah, my new favorite is the standard Schnauzer. And just on a out of the blue one day, my wife, this is 11, 12 years ago, made the comment that she never gets to pick what kind of dog we have. I'm like, what dog would you like? She says, a standard Schnauzer. Huh. I'm like, what? So
what does it look like?
Yeah, I'm going to have to Google it just to see what it looks like.
It's a, you know, the little mini Schnauzers that yap all the time. It's just a Schnauzer, but it's standard size. They have giants, standards, and minis. So I found one and went and got it, kind of got it for her birthday, and fallen in love with the dog. The dog is 11, 12 years old now. Great dog. And they were actually farm dogs back in the homeland of Germany. So
Schnauzer.
Yeah, Schnauzer. Standard Schnauzer. Pretty cool dog. My least favorite would be any little yap and ankle biter. Oh. Especially little Chihuahuas. Those are the most hateful little things.
Napoleon syndrome dogs.
Oh, just, yeah. Can't take the little yapping ankle biters.
And Chihuahuas always give you the side eye. The big chicken
growl
eye.
Snarl at you. Yeah.
Belligerent. Well, my favorite would probably be, just any hunting dog. I had coon dogs when I was younger, and beagles, and I think labs are probably the best dogs you can have. I know it's a tried and true, but great demeanor with people. Although I've got an older lab male, and man, I tell you, he is getting where he kind of acting aggressive to the FedEx trucks. And I've trained him now. I think he's going to run off all the FedEx and UPS trucks so I could save some money.
Leave the Amazon truck.
Though, yeah, right? the Amazon truck, right?
So he's getting old and grumpy?
I think he is.
Oh, they say they take on the...
Where's he getting that?
They take on the, you know, the personality of their owners. Oh,
that's too easy. God dang it. Well, my least favorite has to be right along the lines with the ones you named. My mother-in-law's got some kind of small dog, and it is the most vicious, demon-possessed little animal I've ever seen in my life. Hateful creature.
Give it to Shide.
Non-socialized.
My cat would eat it.
I don't think he cares.
Oh, I don't know. I'll lean over the fence.
What breed is it? Is it a mutt?
I know. I knew he was going to ask. It's pretty common. I mean, it's like this big.
What narrows it down?
Well, for the people that are listening, probably about, what is that, 8 or 10 inches tall, foot tall, and kind of fuzzy, curly hair.
Little poodle type-ish.
Ish. Yeah, it's not a poodle, but it's something kind of like that. But I mean, just...
Does it have rust around its eyes?
Yeah.
Those old dogs, they get rust around... I mean, what?
Rust?
Well, you know, it starts turning brown on their hair, and it's...
A smoker or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, they get kind of stains on their... You don't know. You're
maybe
not
I just didn't have dogs long enough to get to that point.
Oh, my God. Worst start podcast ever.
Oh, let's try to salvage this thing.
Let's do it. Brian, tell us a little bit about Premier Ag from a human resources perspective. How many employees do we have now? Do we know?
We sit around 550.
About 550.
Yeah. And I would say in the spring, we probably get close to 600 through the peak. But with saying that, though, we're at least 20 to 25 short, 20 to 25 open positions. So I say 550, but we really should be 575. If we had every position filled that we have currently open, we would be that 575 level.
That's an interesting way to look at it. You know, what we would be if we had everybody here that we wanted. And you can find all those positions on the website. Is that?
Yep. Yeah. All the positions are listed on the website. And then, of course, you know, through the website, you got the contact information. You can call any of us.
Yeah. It's kind of difficult because some of them you need to kind of be in an area, right? I mean, the physical geography plays a big part in course qualifications and experience.
That's where the website comes in key because it'll list which position by which geographical territory is hiring. I mean, if you count some unmanned facilities, we're 49 facilities, so over 4 states. So it can be a big difference of where, certainly where you're going to apply at. Somebody living here in Seymour probably wouldn't want to apply for a job in Somerset, Kentucky, or in Ohio or Tennessee. That's right. So
how big a team do you have to manage that broad of a scope of employees and geographic area?
Well, right now we currently have 4.5 employees in HR, I guess, depending on what day it is, what decimal I represent within that group, whether I'm a half or a quarter or 10%.
Well, you look full grown.
Well, if that was, it'd be over. I do split my time in safety and risk, but back to the HR, we do have four full-time people in HR. We've got Kirsten over here at Seymour. She does payroll, time and attendance, as well as handles all the retirement accounts, pension, 401ks. Then we have Michelle Rouse. She does all benefits. I'll just say benefits, that's just one thing, but there's a lot involved when it comes to benefits, whether it be administering to new employees or balancing accounts for the office. Then we have Lindsay. She's worked in onboarding, but we're going to refocus her on training. That's become through some surveys, through employees, as an HR department, kind of focus back on us. Some of the things that employees were really looking for is training and communication. So through that through that survey itself, we hired an additional person, which Jody Samples. She's the newest member of the HR group. She's been here just a couple of months now, but she's going to take over the onboarding for new hires, which is unfortunately, it's a daily thing. People are coming and going constantly. I looked just a minute ago and we've got six sitting in onboarding. So it's constant activity, but focused on getting, Lindsay out to, at facilities and do training and work with each department, each division within Premier to create a training regimen. So she'll kind of be what's called a training facilitator. Looking forward to that.
Good. You know, it feels like, you know, any business has turnover, and I know trucking businesses, they have a lot of turnover. I found something interesting. The Indiana School Board Association came out with a newsletter last month, and it said that in Indiana, since COVID, since the epidemic in 2020, it had Indiana's had over 50% turnover of school superintendents. That half of them have turned over since then. Didn't really give a reason why, kind of, but just say that it's not just our industry. It's a lot of industries that seems like it's having a lot of more turnover than it seems like we had in the last decade.
It's everywhere. Turnover doesn't matter whether you're talking about a retail store or like you're talking about that, you know, we have retail C stores as well as all the way to transport drivers. And it doesn't matter which one it is. The turnover is just a continual battle. We have a very diverse, I say diverse as far as generations go. The largest portion of our workforce, still 35% probably is Generation X. Then you can kind of split baby boomers and millennials in that other 20%. A lot of Gen Zers, and then even a few, we've still got handful of the what they call the pre-boomers. So those are your folks that are probably above 70 that are still working.
Why are you looking at me?
I just shoe fits.
He did the talk about the side eye. He kind of did that to you a little time. We were talking to me, but kind of glancing at you.
Yeah, got to be the old guy in the room. Okay.
Happened quick, didn't it?
It did. It did.
What's a typical day look like in the HR department, Brian?
Well, that's a good question.
There is no typical day, probably.
There probably isn't really a typical day. I say that probably the most consistent thing that you could say that you can pretty well put on a calendar and there's no change from it ever is payroll. And that's about it.
Thank you.
Yeah. Near and dear to our hearts.
The rest,
somebody would be calling.
The rest of it
you could speed those up a little bit if you want to.
Yeah. Weekly would be tough. There are some companies that pay weekly. Even you see some of them advertise now where you can get paid when you walk out the day for that shift. And I don't know how they manage that, but it is a large process to do payroll. And it's not free to run a payroll. So
early and often is all we want.
Yes. I would agree. but, you know, as far as we try to, you know, each day within HR is another one, kind of like IT support. HR is we're there to work for the employee. We work for all of you guys as well as, you know, the regulatory things and protecting the company, protecting Premier. But for the most part, we're there to work for the employee to make each day a little better in figuring out better ways to communicate to employees. That's an ever challenging thing to, you know, what's the best way to communicate what's going on at Premier, what's happening, you know, what are some upcoming events. And, and I go back to our diverse across all generations. You know, we've got everything from, you know, our payroll app that'll send banners out if there's an upcoming event or a change in a benefit. It'll scroll across your phone and show you you've got a message and what the message is, and you click on and it's there. But we've got some that's not their form of communication. That's not what they prefer. So we've had to become diverse in our means of communication and be willing to adapt to several different generations. We do bulk emailing. But again, there's some that doesn't reach. So when it comes to benefit administration and upcoming changes, new things to enroll in, open enrollment, we do direct mailers, postcards to employees. And then we've got bulletin boards coming that for premier current events and news to put up at each facility.
Oh.
So that'll be something new.
It's the actual physical bulletin board.
Yep. Back to the physical. Yep. Bulletin board.
Kind of full circle on that.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll come up with a monthly, we're creating a monthly list, things that we can pre-populate and send out to the admins on the first of each month to, I mean, I know it sounds like we're going, you know, physically print out and put on the bulletin board. I think, you know, we're just trying to figure out and trying to get every way that we can best communicate with each employee.
One thing about it, if you know it's posted and you don't look at it, I mean, kind of blame yourself, really.
Well, and that's the open enrollment. Of course, that's everybody knows what open enrollment is, but that's, we went to the postcards for that just because we've got to make sure that everybody sees it. And sometimes if the spouse sees it, that's, hey, honey, your open enrollment's coming up. We need to make some changes and make sure you're there for that meeting. So,
yep.
That's a good point. That's, and I see that, as you travel around and you're in different offices and stuff. And I just recently saw a new employee that came with us and he is in that generation that's closer to mine and he's not computer savvy and he's in a truck, you know, driving. So, you know, thankfully he's not scrolling and being computer savvy while he's driving down the road. So, you know, I think those bulletin boards are a great idea. That's something that he can go get that and he'll get the information he needs and he doesn't have to worry about where do I find that on my phone.
Well, we do, we host a quarterly town hall meeting, which is basically just an open format through Teams where you can, everybody in the company that has an email, send an invite, you know, send a link to join the meeting and we'll have different topics, but we try to keep it to 15 minutes of having somebody come in. For example, last month was on our employee assistance program, which is not only mental health is, you know, people going through issues, but somebody needs a quick will or maybe some financial things. There's a lot of things through the employee assistance program, but anyway, we do these town halls and it's another way of communication, trying to do whatever we can to open those lines up. And, we're probably at tomorrow's meeting, we'll probably discuss what we're going to do for fourth quarter. So just to.
Yeah, because it's coming around, isn't it?
Yeah, we're here for open enrollment. It's hard to believe. And I know, you know, coming from agronomy.
We just did open enrollment.
Right. Right. Yeah. And just like agronomy, you feel like you just got done planting, you're spraying, you're harvesting, and next thing you know, you're planting again. Same thing with open enrollment. By the time we roll one out, which will be the end of October, first few weeks of November, by the time everything's implemented before December 31, right at the first year, we're beginning to talk about what we're going to do in 2025. So it's a never-ending circle.
Jeez. Well, you also have some safety responsibilities. So tell us about some of those. I mean, that's an ongoing thing.
It is. And so the safety part, being my office is in Ligoti, so be considered maybe the western edge or western side of our territory.
The western frontier.
Western frontier.
We got the north, south. I don't know how else to describe a geography. We have to say north, south, east, and west.
There's no other way to put it.
No, that's right. So on the western front.
So on the western front, I'll assist Jerry if we have something, you know, on the lines of spills or some kind of an incident or something. I'm in that area that I can respond to something fairly quickly and assist those facilities over there. But really, HR and risk and safety just intertwine with each other so much that the two of them really go hand in hand. You know, whether you're talking about training, that you've got safety training that coincides with HR. You've got your rosters, your departmental rosters for your CDLs and all the things that go along with that, whether it be your hazmat tests that come about or your quarterly randoms or things like that that are intertwined between risk and safety and then injuries, things like that.
And until we merged and you brought the experience in the merger, you handle both roles there. And I don't think I've really realized that they match up. It kind of is the same department almost because you're human resources. You're trying to keep them safe and, sure. And keep them healthy, keep them trained and everything else. It does match up. So it kind of makes sense for that to reside in the same area.
Yeah, I don't want to say back in the day. You know,
back in the day.
Back in the day. You always hear that. But, you know, pre-merger, there was, and pre-Michelle, White River just had one person for risk and one person for HR.
And IT. Same guy, probably.
Well, no, or lady. We did hire that out. But, you know, through the merger has just helped. It helps in a lot of facets, but my gosh, I mean, just the resources that we have now as a group that we were as individuals, it's great.
Well, Jackson Jennings and the old Premier Ag was the same. I mean, it was, I think the IT department was whoever was best at the computer that day. I mean, and it's the same for everybody that was in that size range.
Yeah, that's, I don't think... I don't think people realize that what is it, especially when you start to get more and more employees, they don't realize the size and scale of stuff that goes on behind the scenes. You know, they think we just show up and we spray fields and we haul a little fuel and everything just happens out of, you know, by magic. But you guys are doing a big job behind the scenes. And at the same time, you're making sure we're doing everything in a safe manner. And that's pretty cool. But I got to ask you.
Uh-oh. Here comes the butt.
What's the craziest safety incident that you've seen?
Oh, no.
In all your year? I mean, there's got to be one that stands out that's like, you know.
And we can say it was somewhere else. It doesn't have to be ours.
Okay. Is it like maybe something I drove past somewhere else and
yeah,
saw?
Yeah, exactly.
There? Exactly.
Okay. So I'd say probably the craziest thing that I saw was had, I would say, a dozen pallets on a forklift. They were, I mean, I'll give them credit. They were ratchet strapped together.
That's a good stack.
So they didn't shift. And then a ladder.
Oh no.
On that to get up to a roof. So that's probably the craziest one that I saw.
But at least they were ratchet strapped.
Yes, they did attach. That way, you know, the pallets, you didn't want them to shift.
Was it one of those Rural King or Harbor Freight?
Yeah, the little, yeah, yeah.
That you wouldn't trust your four-wheeler.
And that has been years ago.
So oh, my gosh.
That's
not a current event.
So there may be a picture on my wife's phone from this last weekend where I might have been on standing on a pallet on my skid loader with my son raising me up so I could power wash our house. I mean, I'm just saying it's possible. I didn't know you could do 12 pallets. Now I'm thinking about, you know, I can work smarter now.
Well, I say smarter, not harder.
There you go.
My dad, the reason I bought a bucket truck was I was coming home one day and
you've got a bucket truck.
It's not a good one. That's a side conversation. More of a pumpkin thrower. But I was coming home and I looked over and I'm like, oh my gosh. I pulled in and dad had the old backhoe up against the old milk house. Running, of course, because the battery was low. Didn't want to turn it off. He had the bucket in the air, had another ladder, had a ladder to get in the bucket that he had climbed into, and then another ladder in the bucket of the backhoe.
That's an extension ladder.
Yes. The extension ladder's right. And he was up on that ladder on top of the old milk house, putting a silver coat of paint on the metal roof, and that was, he's probably 78 at the time, 79.
Well, nobody likes OSHA, but for every regulation in their books happened because
there's a reason
somebody did something and created that code. So
shoot, but it all comes back to slips, trips, and falls, though. That's what you guys tell us, right? That's the most
it is that's the
so
number
it's the little
one.
Things
yeah it is it's the little things that's the number one incident that we have at Premier, and it's also the number one that OSHA has. That's not the number one fine, but as far as like stuff that happens, it's slip, trips, and falls.
And does that come from just being too busy? I'm in a hurry. I don't have time to put this up. I'll get it later.
It really is. It comes from whether you want to say fatigue or just being in too big of a hurry, because slip, trips, and falls covers a huge... I mean, and that's a big, I mean, that's everything from falling off the first few steps of a ladder or a ladder coming down to getting out of a bobtail fuel truck and turning around and missing the step and falling. So, or at a retail store, somebody gets their feet caught up on a rug. So it is a big area. I mean, that's.
Well, that makes more sense. I kind of think about that, like being in the office or something or across the parking lot.
But. Yeah. Even that with a rug or something here. Yeah. So it does slip, trips and falls covers a broad area.
All right. Well, we've covered a pretty broad area in this conversation, dogs to slip, trips and falls. So Jeff, you got anything else?
Hopefully it turned around a little bit better.
I thought about asking what's the wildest story you've ever had about firing somebody, but that may not be.
That's probably
a side conversation.
Yeah, listeners would love to hear it.
Oh, I'm sure. Let their imaginations run wild.
Let's stick. This one kept going negative. We got to keep it positive.
So wait till Brian Scheid retires and writes a book. Then you could list all those things. And we'll buy the book. See?
Painting me in a corner.
Yep. Well, Brian, thank you for joining us today on the High Ground, which we tried to keep as the High Ground. And that is another episode of the High Ground, powered by Premier Companies. And if you like it, please subscribe. And thank you and have a good day.
Thank you.